Good afternoon. It's good to see all of you here this afternoon. I will tell you that I was asked that to remember that some of you, especially the ladies, have been here most of the day, and that one of those sermons that didn't last very long would be much appreciated. But we're going to talk about heaven. So that is a subject hopefully none of us will want to get out of here shortly, but I will keep that in mind. If I mention the word heaven to you, what comes to mind? God, home, future, goal. We just sang the last sentence of that song was an eternal home. And Brother Doug prayed about thank you for heaven and what we have to look forward to. So we're going to talk about that over the next few minutes. And we're going to do it in an interesting way in that I'm going to ask you to get a songbook because we're going to talk about several songs that we sing about heaven. And then we'll compare them with some scripture and have some discussion on them. You know, I typed into Google on my laptop the word heaven. How many results do you think came up in less than 2 seconds? 1,130,000,000. That amazes me that it answers just that fast with that many. Now, I only looked at a few. I didn't look at all of them, of course. But it also gave me the definition, and I used Merriam-Webster's definition, and it has three parts of the definition that I want to read to you. One is the expanse of space that seems to cover the earth like a dome. So just the heavens. The second one is the dwelling place of the deity and where the blessed dead hope to go. That's what we'll talk about tonight. And then the third one is a spiritual state of everlasting communion with God. So while I was looking at some of that stuff on heaven, I pulled up some statistics. 73% of Americans express belief in heaven, so 7 out of 10. Conversely, 62% believe in hell, so 6 out of 10. But the other interesting statistics are this. 62% say that we can meet God in heaven. I don't know where the others who believe in heaven think we would meet him, but the one I was not going to read, but I'll read it to you anyway because it's just an interesting one. 48% of people believe that people in heaven are reunited with their pets or animals that they have had on earth. That just shows you the concept of heaven that a lot of people in the world have. And the other one that's interesting is 39% of people surveyed said that people who do not believe in God can go to heaven. That's amazing to me. And then the last one is 27% don't believe in heaven at all. So a fourth of the people surveyed do not believe in heaven. You know, we sing about heaven a lot. And I hope that we take the time when we sing about it to really think about what we're singing. And we'll go through some of them tonight. But I want to start with a couple of songs that, you know, I tried to Google and see how many songs there is of all persuasions about heaven. It crashed Google. It couldn't answer it. So it couldn't give me a number on that. But I've got a couple here that, and David mentioned one of them in a sermon a while back that Hank Jr. sings. If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. Now that's a terrible attitude to have, but I remember as a teenager singing that song and not knowing any better. But the one I want to talk about tonight is, and I did a sermon on this one in Colorado a few years ago, a song by Kenny Chesney that says, everybody wants to go to heaven. Now, some of you may have heard it. It was probably 12, 14 years ago. It was a very popular song for him. I'm going to read you some of the lyrics of that song. I'm not going to read them all, but the ones I read will provide enough of the song for you to understand why I read it to you. It kind of goes with those statistics earlier. It says, don't you want to hear him call your name when you're standing at the pearly gates? I told a preacher, yes, I do, but I hope he don't call today. Everybody wants to go to heaven, have a mansion high above the clouds. Everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to go now. So the grammar is the song, not mine, so just so you know. Then it says, everybody want to go to heaven. It beats the other place. There ain't no doubt. Everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to go now. And then the final refrain is, everybody want to go to heaven. Hallelujah, let me hear you shout. Everybody want to heaven, go to heaven, but nobody want to go now. I think I speak for the crowd. So that song, very popular song, and I think that sums up what a lot of people in our world think about heaven. You ask them, 7 out of 10 say, yes, I want to go. But I don't want to go now. I'm not ready now. The mindset they have is, let me enjoy life, everything this world offers, and then when I can't enjoy it anymore, or I reach the point where it's no longer enjoyable, then I'll start thinking about heaven, and yes, I want to go. But I don't want to go until then. That's a terrible attitude to have. And we see that around us, don't we, with people. That's their kind of attitude of heaven. And, you know, most people think they're going and they can live how they want to, and in the end, we'll all get there. They're sadly mistaken. And we'll talk about that some later in the lesson. But, you know, thankfully, I'm in a room full of people that everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody's ready now, or should be ready now. You're living to be ready now. And we're all excited about heaven. We don't have the attitude of, when things of this life are past, then I'll want to go to heaven. We want to go now. So let's make one thing clear before we get into our first song. And you can start turning to page 350. Is the scripture does give us some descriptions on heaven. But some of that, we don't know if it's literal or some put in a way that we can understand it for our human minds to know. But we do know that heaven will be wonderful. And as we go through these songs and the scripture that discusses it, I think that we will understand that. So page 350, Mansions Over the Hilltop. We sing this song a lot. This is a song that every church I've been to before, we sing it. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold, but in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one that's silver lined. Though often tempted, tormented, and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone, and though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. You know what's hard about reading a song? In your mind, you want to read it like you sing it. So I'm trying not to. But don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a robe, and a crown. So turn to John 14, 2 and 3. It kind of goes, is that at the wrong page? Oh, I've got a different book. Ha ha, I'll just give you the titles, and that's my fault. You know what? What song is yours? Mine's Songs of the Church. That's what that one is. But, yeah, I don't know what edition mine is. Sorry. The covers are the same, so at least I... Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. But thankfully, most of these songs we know. You know, it's funny. Brad was looking at his song sheet earlier like, is that the next one? And I didn't look at that. I thought I was good to go. See, Brad, it happens to all of us. So, but in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So in our Father's house are many mansions. You know, I remember as a kid, there was a house in our area. We were in a very rural area that was poor, but there was a big mansion. And we called it the mansion. That's just how it was described by people, because you'd drive by there and you say, wow, did you see the mansion? Because we thought those people were the richest people ever because they had a house like that. And it's funny, some of the neighborhoods you drive through around here, they all look like that. They're very nice. So we see a lot of homes that may be thought to be mansions in the worldly view, but this says that in our Father's house are many mansions. You know, there's no mansion here that can compare to what our mansion will be in heaven. We don't know what it'll be, but we know that it will not even come close to that. Now, Jesus gave his disciples comfort here when he says, and where I am going, I will come back and get you and take you there as well. So there will be that promise, or there is that promise that he's coming. But, you know, no matter how spectacular that mansion is, the great thing is we'll be there with our Lord. It wouldn't matter if it was a small mansion or a big one, we'll be with him. So it will make that mansion seem like the best place there is. And it is. So just think of that when you drive by houses. And sometimes, you know, Diane and I have lived in our house for 8 years. And that's the longest I've ever lived in a house. And I want to move. And I want a new one just because it's time to move. And she says, we have plenty of house here. And we do. There's no need to move. But when we drive through these neighborhoods and we see these big houses and we're like, wow, wouldn't it be nice to have that? Just think that the mansion that is waiting for us is much better than anything we can ever comprehend here. And I think if we do that and try to keep our minds on that, it will make our life here much easier. The next song is, I don't know what page, When All of God's Singers Get Home. And I apologize for that. You know, this morning, I almost took a book home from here just to make sure, and I didn't. And I apologize for that. But I'm going to be reading it to you, so if you don't want to deal with the hassle of finding it, you don't have to. When all of God's singers get home, what a song of delight in that city so bright will be wafted neath heaven's fair dome. How the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise when all of God's singers get home. As we sing here on earth songs of sadness or mirth, 'tis a foretaste of rapture to come. But our joy can't compare with the glory up there when all of God's singers get home. Having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen, will be heard in that land o'er the foam. Every heart will be light and each face will be bright when all of God's singers get home. Hebrews 12, 22, 23 says, But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Heaven will be a place of worship. You know, I've oft heard said that the folks that don't like singing here won't like heaven, because that's what we will be doing. The question comes is, are the folks that don't like worship and singing here going to be in heaven? That's a question that we need to keep in our mind, because if you don't like worship and singing praises to God, chances are you may not make it to heaven, because that means there's an issue somewhere in your spiritual life. But the Bible is full of rich and beautiful passages on heaven, and you know, just think about, or try to think about, the multitude of people that will be in heaven with us worshiping God together. You know, here tonight we may have 65, 70 maybe. I can't imagine what the number will be in heaven of people that are gathered around the throne worshiping our Father together. You know, Diane and I, a couple of weeks ago, went to Georgia Road. In the afternoon service, we had 12. But the 12 folks were happy to be there, and the singing was great, and the people enjoyed worship. Just imagine that millions times millions. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Revelation 7, 15 through 17 has a wonderful description of it. It says, Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So we'll be worshiping God forever, never to thirst again, never to have tears. There will be no problems, no pain, anything in heaven. And what's the last verse that we sing of Amazing Grace? When we've been there 10,000 years, it's going to be like day one. We'll just continue to worship God in heaven. Doesn't that make you excited about going to heaven? That we're going to worship God forever with the saints that have gone before us. The next song is probably my favorite song of heaven, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. You know, just the title of that, when we sing it, makes me excited, because it's one of those songs that it's very touching to me. And when you think about it, it's one of those that resonates with people because of the visual that we get. It says, We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given, how beautiful heaven must be. In heaven, no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing, and all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. You know, these songs that we sing and the words that John describes in Revelation 21:4 and other verses that we'll read gives us somewhat of a visual, but as I said earlier, we will never truly know how beautiful heaven is until we get there. But we know enough that we should want to go there and be excited about going there. Revelation 21:9 through 11 says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. You know, it's been said that a rare gemstone called taphiite was discovered in Sri Lanka in 1945. There's been very few of them found since then. They're very rare and very exquisite. But it doesn't even compare to those things in heaven. You know, in heaven, the light of the great city will be a glorious stone. Its radiance will outshine any precious gem on earth. You know, I don't have many diamonds. I don't have any. Diane has a couple, but they're not big ones. But, you know, you see the big, shiny gemstones and things on TV, and they can't even compare. Verses 19 and 20 of the same chapter says, "The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst." It's all of the rare precious jewels. And it says that's what the walls were adorned with. So in heaven, it will just be a wonderful place covered with all these beautiful stones and the light of God. So in our visual mind, if you try to think of that, I don't know, it's hard to describe how beautiful that would be or it could be. But it makes me excited to think about. You know, we think about the beauty of heaven. What's the most beautiful place you've been on earth? You know, I've been to the top of Pikes Peak probably 10 or 12 times. And on a cloudy day, when you're at 14,300 feet, you can see hundreds of miles in many directions. Absolutely beautiful. You know, Diane and I went to the north shores of Hawaii and saw those volcanic mountains and the beaches and the blue water. Absolutely gorgeous. I've been in the middle of the Mormon Trail in the Moab Desert in Utah with nothing around for a two-day drive. Just amazing to see God's creation. But all of that pales in comparison to how beautiful heaven will be. And that's amazing to me. The next song is "Won't It Be Wonderful There," 657 in my book. You see, there's a theme with these songs. Heaven, we sing about it. It about how wonderful and great heaven is. And this goes back to the lesson that the last time I spoke about joy. And when I see Christians that have no joy, it just troubles me because of heaven and how great heaven will be. And I know we have troubles and things on this earth, but we have something that is wonderful waiting on us. And "Won't It Be Wonderful There" says, "When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land. Won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One. Won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One. Won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us. Won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us. Won't it be wonderful there?" Revelation 21:4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying, no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Won't it be wonderful not to have to deal with any of that anymore? Revelation 22:5, "There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." The song says, when the cares of this story land have ended the troubles and cares, we'll have no more cares, no more troubles. We can't be tempted anymore from the devil. I was talking to Brother Bass. I said, last time you were here, you preached on the devil, and I'm preaching about heaven. He said, well, the devil won't be there. And I said, amen, he won't. So that is a wonderful thing. And this song says, we will not be tempted anymore when we're there. We're walking and talking with Christ, the supernal one. We can stroll with our Lord. You know, we think we have it good here, and some of us do, and some of us have it better than others. But still, no comparison to how wonderful heaven will really be. And the final song, when we get to it, will kind of encapsulate this, and I think will make perfect sense about how beautiful heaven is and that it will be worth it all. Next song is Earth Holds No Treasures. Some books have it, Heaven Holds All to Me, so it just depends which book. Really depends on which book you have, obviously. But Earth holds no treasures but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Out on the hills of that wonderful country, happy, contented, and free, loved ones are waiting and watching my coming. Heaven holds all to me. Why should I long for the world with its sorrows, when in that land, home or the sea, millions are singing the wonderful story, heaven holds all to me. And this is the one that I want to read the chorus, because I think it's something that we need to keep in mind and would be a good thought for us to have on occasion. Heaven holds all to me, brighter its glory will be, joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. Matthew 6:20 says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So the question for all of us tonight is, does heaven hold all for us? I know that that's our goal and aim in life, to think that heaven does hold all, but is that something we have in our daily life? Do we live like heaven holds all to us? Because that's what God expects us to do and how we're supposed to live. Remember the song we started with earlier? I want to go to heaven, but I ain't ready. I don't want to go now. As Christians, we have to be careful and not find ourselves in allowing things of this life to overtake us to the point to where it takes us away from our goal and our aim, and we focus too much on the things of this world. We have to care about this world. When we were at PTP, Clark Sims had a lesson that says, I couldn't care more about, and one of the things was his life on earth and eternity and how those two are connected. Because how we live now determines how our eternal life will be. And we need to pay attention to those things. You know, and we read earlier that in our Father's house are many mansions, and there's one prepared for you, but you're not going to be forced to go. You know, when I was active duty military, when I got orders, I had two choices. Well, I really had one. If I had retained ability, I had to go where they told me, when they told me. Heaven is prepared for us, but we don't have to go. We can choose not to go. And there's some in this world, unfortunately, that are choosing that very thing. You know, Matthew chapter 7 is one of those books that's scary when you read it, because verses 13 and 14 says, narrow's the gate and few there be that find it. In verse 21 and through 23, he talks to those specifically who are professing that they have been doing things in worship to him and following him and doing things that they thought were right. And he says to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you that work lawlessness. And before that, before he says his part, they say, but Lord, didn't we fill in the blank? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Didn't we do those things? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And sadly, eternity will reveal that error for many, because there are many who think that they're on the right track, and it could be some of us, because unfortunately there are some in the church who think they are on the right track, but they're not. And hopefully we have a chance, if we're in that position, that we can fix that on this side of eternity, and that our first breath in eternity is not when we find that out, because then it's too late. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. There are some who are not going to heaven. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. So heaven is an exclusive place. Not everybody's going. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So in the beginning, we said 7 out of 10 believe in heaven, and they're going. But if you're doing these things, you're not, sadly. The final song we're going to talk about tonight, it's Heaven Will Be Worth It All. I don't know if I've ever sung this song before, but I found it in the book, and it is one that I think encapsulates this lesson very well. It says, often I'm hindered on my way, burden so heavy I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Many the trials, toils, and tears, many a heartache may here appall, but the Lord, dear Lord, so truly says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Toiling in pain I will endure till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure, heaven will surely be worth it all. And the chorus says, heaven will surely be worth it all, worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life, with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. So the question tonight is heaven, does heaven hold all to you? Are you a Christian? Are you on the path to heaven? We've seen how beautiful it's going to be, how we can be with the Lord and be with all those saints that have gone on before us, singing and worshiping our God. He's prepared a mansion for us that, guess what, doesn't have a mortgage. If we live a life that we're supposed to live on this earth, we will get that mansion one day. If you're not a Christian tonight, you can become one. If you are, and you've let things of this life get you off the path toward heaven, you can be restored through prayer and repentance. God will forgive you. If there's anything that we can do for any of you tonight, please come forward as we stand and sing.